Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. And if your windows are drafty, hard to open, hard to close,
falling out
of your house, Bill is going to give us some great advice today for how to deal with windows, how to replace them, and how to repair them. Hello, Bill.
Well, good morning, Charity. We got to end this drive this morning by just giving you enough information to save that much money on replacing your windows or finding out what's wrong with them so that we could just, you know, that's worth 10 grand right there.
All right.
It is.
In one lump sum.
All
right. So first of all, how do you know when you need new windows?
It's really funny. A lot of people think they need new windows when they see them fog over. And in some cases, it's just because your humidity is too high in your house. But when there's fogging in between, like, say, the two panes of glass on our newer windows, the glass itself could have failed. The sash could have failed. But in a lot of cases, it isn't the glass. And I mean, it's really funny when we see these ads on newspapers or hear them on radio or TV. We're going to save you 40 or 50% in your energy bills. And they always say energy bills by replacing, you know, your windows. Well, first of all, the only thing you could possibly save on is maybe your heating and cooling. And there's been a lot of studies that just putting on good storms, you know, fixing up the windows that you have, if at all possible, especially if they're historical, and then putting on good storms will get you a lot faster return on your money. The number that floats around at a lot of conferences that I attend is that replacing your windows could possibly be 40 years worth of, you know, payback, which you would never, you know, get because they wouldn't, you'd have to replace them by then. And storms, they say 4.
Wow.
But, you know, those are just numbers that I hear. And I don't know whoever started those numbers. You know, it could have been some person.
All right. So we can't crunch those numbers and back it up. But
no,
that's pretty striking. So replacing the storms might be the first step to take.
Or just putting on good storms because, you know, we just don't have them anymore. And they make good interior storms, which, you know, in some windows it doesn't work because of the placement of the screen, things like that. But, you know, a lot of our older windows, the reason we lose a lot of energy is because, especially the ones that we, you know, saw in our early last century homes, you know, the wooden windows, and they had the little weights on the inside of the trim on the right and left.
Right.
And so, you know, these little cotton cords would lift it up. Well, there's 3-inch hole sitting right there on each side of air coming through. And just putting just simple replacement, not the whole sash, but just a simple replacement that would fit an insert into those frames and sealing those frames up, it makes a huge impact. So,
and you can maintain the historical look of your windows
that
way as well.
You can. And, you know, in some cases, you have to just, you know, maybe just rebuild the sashes that are there. You can put in new, you know, high-efficiency glass. Sometimes that costs, you know, quite a bit, but you still maintain your historic, you know, perspective that you want, say, from the street or from the interior. But in most cases, for a window where you're failing is it's around the window. I hate to say it, but you can destroy the outside of a house, and I've got tons of pictures, and friends keep sending me pictures. You can destroy the outside of the house and the inside of the house by not following the doggone directions that come with putting new windows in. Windows that were put in, say, like 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, that I've gone to, they'll say my windows are leaking and leaking water. Now, there's no way if somebody puts a window in correctly that it should be leaking water. And so, if you think your windows are going bad and you see water running, it's not necessarily the window. It's how they put the window in. My age group, when we put windows in the 70s, they had what's called a brick molding. It's a wood trim that goes around the outside of the window. And, you know, we'd just run a little bead of whatever caulk we had back there and then put the window in. in the opening of the house. And then they came out with these nailing flanges, which made the window easier to install, which was a little attachment on the side of the window. You'd put it in the hole and you'd still caulk it. But for some reason, our brains didn't function correctly. And we thought that, hey, this must be the flashing as well. And no, it had nothing to do with holding water out. So a lot of the houses that had windows put in, they skipped flashing them correctly. By flashing, I mean that as water comes down behind the siding, and a wall is just like a roof. I mean, water goes right through very slowly, but usually right through the siding. It drains down the wall behind the siding. And if the water can get behind the attachment of the window, then it comes around the window and it rots out the wood underneath the window and wets the insulation below it. And in many cases, I have pictures of houses 10 to 15 years of age that look fine. You pull the vinyl siding off and you're looking at rotten wood. I mean, you can actually grab the wood and it's like cereal.
Oh, wow.
Wet cereal because the window wasn't installed correctly.
Okay, so without pulling the siding off, how
right.
can you know?
And well, in many cases you don't. It is kind of funny. You can
yet again,
right.
Bill. You're
See,
making
I
me
know.
Feel really secure
I love
and
this
confident.
Stuff. In some cases, you can after a rain, if you go and you look underneath your windows on the outside of your house and you look at the siding, a lot of times you'll see water dripping below just where the window is up above it, but not anywhere else. And so that means it's retaining a little bit of water and it's dripping. So the window can look fine and you think, I don't have to replace it. And it still holds air out, you know, and there's no fogging inside the glass. And the window may be okay, but everything around it now, you've lost so much energy. It's multiple times the energy loss and damage of what just the window could possibly be causing.
All right. Now,
itself.
You've mentioned that many, many things can go wrong if windows are installed improperly.
Right.
So it seems like a fairly reasonable, maybe not a whole house full of windows, but it seems like a fairly reasonable do-it-yourself job. Do you recommend against that?
You know, if you have someone that's replaced windows, that's done a couple, two or three maybe, it's not rocket science. I mean, it is pretty simple if you follow the directions. Because okay. we went to a brand new house just a few months ago. We were going to videotape this particular project. We walk up, and all of a sudden, hey, the windows were put in wrong. And, you know, I said, what's the deal? I said, well, we've always done it this way. I said, well, did you look at page 2 of the, you know, the installation instructions that came with the window? Oh, no, we just have always done it. Well, let's go to page 2. You turn it, there's page 2, and it says exactly how to do it that wasn't done.
And this was supposed to be a demonstration.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you hire somebody who knows how to put in windows right?
You know what? The easiest thing is just, you know, you've put them in for years, right? Okay. Do you follow the directions? Yes. And then you download that or you get a copy of those directions. And physically, you can just stand there. I've got a friend that did that.
So be a micromanager.
Oh, man. Yeah. The builder hates that. But if they're not putting them in right, it's your money.
Right.
You know, and just say, you know, I know you've put them in, but ask them, did you put them into the ASTM 2112? If you just write that down, ASTM 2112 standards, and they glaze over, then you move on to the next person. Because that's a national standard for putting them in correctly.
Okay, now we're going to go to a break here in just a couple of minutes, and then I know a lot of people are going to have questions for you at 866-780-9100. So when you're replacing your windows, if it really is time and you're really going to replace
right.
your windows, vinyl, how do you feel about vinyl?
You know, that goes around and around. Vinyl and is a very good material as long as you make sure that it's a virgin vinyl. I know that we try to push a lot of recycling, but there's a lot of studies that the first use vinyl is much more stable, and you'll get all kinds of arguments on that. Or a fiberglass window. Fiberglass would be an upgrade, and it's a better. But wood windows are just fine if they're put in correctly. There is maintenance with the wood.
Okay, and then very quickly, things to avoid, things that just do not hold up over time.
Wood windows that aren't varnished, that aren't painted, or varnished and painted where it's exposed to the weather when you open the window up, that window will not last.
Okay. What about crank out windows?
Crank out. I like double hungs. They're not quite as tight, but I like. But I love the casement window.
All right, and it's gonna hold up over time.
Hopefully.
All right. We will take a short break. When we get back, you can ask Bill McAnally your questions at 866-780-9100 or Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, here today with our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, here with you to answer your questions. And we've been talking about windows, and I think we've got a lot of people with questions about windows. So if you have questions about windows or any home improvement projects, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll start with an email question here from Brent. He says, my wife and I are currently looking into replacing our windows, getting quotes. I have a two-part question. One, I've read a lot about fiberglass window frames being better due to expansion and contraction, as well as less thermal bridging. However, they seem to be a lot more expensive than, say, vinyl. Do you think the cost will offset itself?
That's a really good question. It depends on how long you're probably looking at staying in the home. If you're looking at remodeling at a later date, I do think in many cases they are a better upgrade. It's just like anything else. Do you want to buy, do you want to buy your basic Yugo, or do you want to buy your Chrysler 300? You know, there's a lot of range in between. The thermal bridging issue, which means transfer of heat from inside out or cold from outside in through the frame itself. That is a lot bigger issue than a lot of people give credit to. So yes, it's a little bit better there, but I like the stability of it. It's not going to go through such dramatic changes as vinyl will in freeze thaw, and we have a lot of freeze thaw.
Yes, we do.
So I think
this year than ever.
Yeah, I think you'll see that a lot more fiberglass. I personally would go to fiberglass. You have to look at, do I want really good, nice things that last? And I would probably go with that. Yeah.
Okay. So the second part of the question. Are retrofit or replacement windows something the average handyman can do, or should a guy focus on a company that only does window and door installation?
There again, if you're fairly handy, it's something that you can do. But
And it sounds like he's thinking about hiring somebody to do it, but can they be a jack of all trades, or do they need to focus on windows? Do you need a window specialist?
A lot of times, this one is really tricky because it does depend on the brand and the type of window that you're buying. And I tell you, the biggest one, here's a $9,000 savings right here, is have them do the measuring. You do not do any measuring. You have whoever you're going to do the work do the measuring. And so in many cases, you're going to get a lot better installation if it is someone that's all they do is, doors and windows all the time. Because they're obviously, they have specific tools. They can do it faster and probably better. And if they run into a problem, they've probably seen the problem and they can fix it there on site instead of, oh man, I got to go to the hardware store. They have they have all the equipment. But it's that measuring, because you would not believe how many times, that people will measure something and they superimpose the numbers. They'll either do the inch or they'll do the fraction wrong. And they'll say, here's 21 and a quarter inches. And when they're looking at the tape upside down, it might be 20 and three quarters. And so they're half inch off. So who's going to pay for that? Well, if you measured it, you are. So have whoever's going to install it, whoever's, has their signature on ordering that, do the measurements. Don't you do it and give it to them.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the phones. 866-780-9100. Angie is on the line in Waterloo. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Yeah. I live in a historic bungalow. It's from 1921. And I have the original windows. And they need a lot of work, but I don't know where to begin. I want to keep it historical.
Okay.
But I don't know what companies to look at, and then I don't have any screens, so I just have the storms in the original windows.
Okay. There's I would just look for historic preservationists. Google that for the state of Iowa. There are quite a few in Iowa that work on historic preservation projects. You know, let alone windows, they'll do doors. You know, they'll have all the sources to be able to get screens, and they're surprisingly common. Nobody really talks about it, but there are a lot of companies, home improvement companies, that make custom screens. And then, especially if it's on a bungalow, you know, they're not going to be inexpensive, because you will want to have, you know, the nice wood frame era matching screen put on. But you can also contact the Iowa Economic Development Authority. I'm just kind of throwing their name out. And ask them if they have any people that specifically do with historical preservation. And but if you just Google historic preservation specialists Iowa, you'll probably get quite a few. But I would interview them, and I would check maybe with the Chamber of Commerce over towards Perry, because Perry has a ton of bungalows in it. It's known worldwide for the housing that they have over there. I think I would get a hold of them and see if they have any companies that maybe belong to their chamber that specifically work with bungalows, because to me, those are like the neatest homes. So practical that were designed. They're just a nice home.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Angie. And on the subject of historic windows, you mentioned getting a kit to replace those old pulley systems that allow so much leakage.
Right.
Is that a do-it-yourself project?
In some cases, they are, yeah. I kind of flip-flop here on the measurement thing. If you want to do it yourself and you're going to take responsibility for those measurements, yeah, there's a lot of companies that you can just order the inserts. You go in and show them, you know, the dimensions. And I've seen people take cardboard, and they'll just kind of cut a piece of cardboard and say, okay, this is what actually fits here, because pretty much all the windows are the same. Pulling the trim off can be a little tricky, because, you know, you don't want to start beating on it. It's hard to replace, but it's usually very dry and it splits easily, and there could be lead paint. So you want to do a lead paint test, especially if, you know, you have any kids around it whatsoever. It may be something that, okay, I don't want to do this because of the possibility of the lead paint. And in most homes, those older ones, it may have latex over it now or oil-based, but there's lead underneath it. You disturb it, and now we've got possibly a huge lead issue. So that's why a lot of times you want a professional to do it, because they've, you know, ask them if they're going to be doing your windows working with any of that old trim, you know, ask them for their lead certification paperwork.
And this would be a situation, again, where you'd look for somebody who has experience doing this.
Yeah.
That wouldn't necessarily be a windows person.
Yeah, it may be. That's when you're dealing with older homes, when, you know, that's the thing, anything before 1978, it gets a little sketchy when we start dealing with lead.
All right. Give us a call with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've got Jesse on the line in Cedar Rapids with some thoughts on vinyl windows. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm the commercial sales rep here for Pella in Cedar Rapids in Iowa City, and just wanted to back Bill up here on upgrading to the fiberglass. That's absolutely with you on that. The thing is, you know, glass and fiberglass are essentially the same material. So, you know, the little bit that they're going to expand and contract is going to kind of match each other. So I just can't say enough about that material type. Really been happy with it. And then also I would urge people to stay away from any kind of install that's going to be like less than $200 per opening.
All right. So sometimes it's just too good to be true. Jesse, thank you so much. And Bill really likes it when people back him up.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Jesse. You're a great American.
Right. All right. Let's go to Kurt on the line in Ames. Hi, Kurt. Oh, apparently we've lost Kurt.
He was the $180 installer.
866-780-9100 is the number for you to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So with window replacement, how long should a good window last?
The glass will last obviously forever, and if the window's put in correctly, you know, that's going to last, you know, 30, 40 years, 50 years. But the performance side of it, over time, the gas in between the, you know, the panes slowly dissipates, but you still have, you know, even if it dissipates, you still have, you know, air in there. They've gotten a lot better. We don't see the cracks that we had early, say in the 80s, when we started getting our first panes with argon gas in between them and things like that. The better brands, they're doing a lot of technology on their warm edge, which is the surface between the two pieces of glass, so you don't have that heat transfer, and then you don't have as much condensation around the window. The neat thing is, the ones that you buy now is kind of the ancillary benefits is, every side, when we work on a house, we specify the windows. Basically, the windows on each side of the house will be a different glazing, or not necessarily different glazing, but we'll have a, you know, one will have a different tint, or one will have a reflective coating, like if it's facing a lake and it's facing south or it's facing west. You know, we want to cut down the cooling load, so we'll have a reflective glass on the north side. You know, we'll want more of a clear glass. We want just that even, you know, a light coming through the glass. So when you go with one of the major manufacturers, especially, they'll guide you through that. When you show them where on the compass basically your house sits, it's like, hey, this window should have this coating, this window should have that coating, and they will ask, okay, what kind of furniture are you going to have? What kind of carpet are you going to have in there? Because we don't want the carpet fades where a couch is, and then you move the couch 2 years later, and all of a sudden, nice little layout we've got there on the carpet. But yeah, they should last you, you know, 25, 30 years. I think people are, I don't know, for some reason we think they should last a lot longer, but you got to remember they're stuck out there. The windows on the outside.
They're doing the hard work, right?
It's doing the hard work. And then on the inside, it's sitting at 70 degrees. When you set something that's made, the inside is almost always the same temperature and humidity, and the outside is going up and down, up and down. You can't expect something that expands and contracts that often and not fail over time, especially when you're dealing with the gasketing and things like that. I think the windows are going to gradually get better as our technology, especially on the edging between the glass and the gaskets.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Al is on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Al.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, my question has to do with insulation. My house, all of the windows have been replaced, and I keep getting these letters with the bill from the power company that ours is the highest energy using house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it has, I think, a foot of rolled insulation in the attic is all. And my wife has talked about siding. And I recall you saying on the show one time, don't do anything with redwood siding, and it is redwood siding on the house. So I'm wondering how. You might recall my wife, the Iowa Central nurse.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
We're having this debate about what to do with the siding, or leave it as it is, or whatever.
Well, you know, I hate to do anything with redwood siding because I love redwood siding so much. If you can take it off very carefully, I can't remember, was it the lap siding? Is that what it is? Is like 8-inch lap siding?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, because if you could take it off very carefully and reuse it, then I'd put like 1-inch foam on the outside of the house and then reuse the siding if you possibly can. You know, that on the windows, the other thing is when they're installed, if they're put in with fiber, just jammed fiberglass, loose fiberglass around the window, I'd pull the trim off on the inside and put minimal expanding foam specifically made for windows, because you could be losing a lot of heat in that. Now, I get the same bills from that same power company, and I get really mad because my house is all electric. And so it throws this, it says you're using more energy. I said, you know, well, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm not using any gas, you know, but you assume, you assume that I am, and then that's really frustrating to see those bills. I get mad about it because, but anyway, I think that's a good investment, but you've got to look at it. Okay, there's quite a few $1,000. Would I ever get that back?
Is it worth it to you anyway?
And is it worth it? And tell your wife I do apologize for the time that I had that pheasant in a plastic or a paper bag and scared her in the office. She'll know what I'm talking about. That was anyway.
All right, we are going to take a short break. Al, thank you so much for your call. We'll be back with Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe here with Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's get to the phones. Marty is on the line in Davenport. Hi, Marty. All right, maybe we've lost Marty. Let's try Ned in Urbandale. Hi, Ned.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had a question. We were considering putting some gutter toppers on, and I was wondering if Bill had any experience with the product called Ultra Flow Steel Powder Coated Screen. It's kind of a mesh product, maybe about a quarter-inch mesh sort of product.
No, I haven't had any experience at all with those. It just, if there are they pretty expensive, I guess?
I imagine they're competitive, if not cheaper, according to them, than other steel.
The thing is, you also want to, justify, well, am I going to get that much value out of them? If your gutters are easy to, are they easy to access, like with an extension to your garden hose to clean them out yourself? That's, you don't have to.
We usually have a service do it.
Oh, okay. Will you be having them come back and, maybe pull? I don't know how big the openings are on the screen. Will they? You suppose you'll have to have them come back and pull the little twigs out of that, and, as well, or is this product?
I don't know about that. They claim it keeps out pine needles and stuff, but. Apparently you can open them up, in the sense of
okay.
If you want to have access to the gutters. But, my main problem is we usually have the gutters cleaned maybe twice in the autumn, and I was wondering, if this would be a way of cutting down on that.
Yeah, I'm not a real, me personally, I'm not a real big fan, because I've seen some issues with them. I would do a little bit more research on that particular brand. I've never really even heard of that brand before, and that's my fault. I would kind of go back to, if somebody's cleaning your gutters, they might also notice if there's any other damage with shingles, that maybe you've missed some hail damage or storm damage or other things too. Is kind of weigh the costs between the two. That's always a personal question on that, because I personally would rather keep my gutters, just keep them clean. So, but a lot of people would rather have that mesh. So, yeah, I would do some research on them and see if they've been around a long time and, check the company out.
All right. Good luck with that, Ned. And, the nice thing about the internet age is you can find a lot
right.
of reviews for stuff like that.
There's nowadays you can find out as much information or great more information you ever really needed on any product, and you want to do your due diligence on that, because there are some companies, and it's sad to say, there are some companies that go around and charge an exorbitant amount for things like that you may not even need, and you may only need to use it on maybe one part of your house. No
right.
sense putting them on the side where there's nothing blowing into them. I mean, we're out in the middle of the country where there's no trees. I mean, so, do your due diligence on that.
All right, let's go to Roger in North Liberty. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I had 8 windows put in my home, and four of them leaked, and that's been about 4 years ago. And it's kind of rotted, the wood. at the seal, the window seal.
Yeah.
And I told the guys about it, and they said it was a roof problem.
Yeah, I suppose they would. you know, is there an overhang above your windows?
No, huh?
Okay. Well, you know, they're just kind of, you know, I really haven't seen too many roof leaks cause a window leak unless it's something really major. And I would, you know, if you know the brand, here's the key to it. If you know the brand, and usually you can see it on the hardware system of the window. If you know the brand, look it up on the internet, and then look for the year that you put them in. So it would be like, say, a 2013 or 2014, and you can download the installation instructions.
Okay.
And if you have vinyl siding, you can pull the vinyl siding off just a little bit around the window on a warm day, and look behind it and see if it was put in the way that the manufacturer said. If it wasn't, especially at the top of the window.
Okay.
Then I'd send them an email with a copy of those directions and say, would you please sign this saying that you put these windows in according to the directions?
Okay.
And if not, you know, you've got a pretty good case to say, you know, hey, you need to come back and fix this because you're causing damage. Because if you see damage now, there's a ton of damage probably that you can't see.
Oh, yeah. Mommy, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. Okay. But there are a lot of people that don't know how to put windows in. A lot of them.
Okay. Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Roger. Next, let's go to Brent in Clive. Hi, Brent.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question, so my wife and I just bought a house last fall, trying to finish the basement, and noticed some termite damage in the rim joist. It's between three different floor joists, so it's probably about 6 feet total length. I'm curious, what would be the best solution? Can I just maybe sister another rim joist on the inside of that? Would you have?
Have you gotten rid of the termites yet?
Yeah, we've had Springer Pest Control out, so they've got their treatments installed and stuff. But
how old is the house?
It was built in 1962.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can sister on, but yeah, I would you know, I would check with them and make sure, you know, you probably have them then on the where they come back every so many months and recharge everything and double check.
Yeah, it's a yearly program. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, usually you can sister it on. But if it's if there's an area where sometimes it's structural, you may want to get the building inspector for your. You're in what town? I'm sorry.
I actually live down in St. Charles.
In St. Charles,
in Madison County.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can go ahead and sister that on there. But you do want to make sure, especially there may be some structural issues there. You know, I can't see from here. You may want to get a contractor in there to take a look at it and make sure there's not some structural settling. Because what happens is when the termites get in there, they soften it up. And if there's some point loads, which would be like some rafters, a group of rafters pushing down at one point, they could actually be deflecting part of the floor, and you could have a lot of damage. And so sistering, you know, would only be cosmetic. So you want to get somebody in there that understands the structure and how the house is built. And so it would either be, you know, a building contractor or an inspector. Leave that open until they see it.
Okay. Is there ever an opportunity to try to, like, replace that from the outside? I guess my issue is it's right underneath my front door, and I got the big concrete stoop there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's in a bad place, but.
Yeah, you can do it from either side if you can get the access to it, because I don't know, so it's rotted out right where your front stoop meets the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underneath my front entry to the.
Yeah. In the 60s and 70s, we never did those right. Just so you're not the only one. It's just nobody else has noticed theirs yet. So it was always wet there. So, yeah, in some cases, you know, the nice thing is the load is on the left side and the right side of your window right now. It's coming down on the king studs and the cripple or the trimmers there. So, you know, you can sometimes go ahead and open it up from the outside if you've got space from the stoop to the bottom of the door sill. So sometimes it isn't that bad. Is it one of those precast concrete steps that they called them Lister steps that had the metal railings on it?
Yes, I believe that's what it is. Yeah, it's we have a brick front on it. It looks like it's tied in pretty well with that. So I don't know if it was prefab or not.
Yeah. Well, so. Yeah, just go ahead and get in there with a Sawzall or something like that and start digging away and just take out wherever it's bad. And you can put it in smaller pieces. Just really make sure that those floor joists are good on the end. So it may be some real structural issues there.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to answer my call.
We're having a blast.
Thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks.
Brent. All right, and we are nearly out of time. Let's get to. I know.
We got to get below like 6 at least on this hour.
All right, what the deal is. We will. All right. Here's a question from Kirk. He says, "For the 3 walls of my 3-season room, I'm considering replacing the single pane slide windows with double paned windows. The room has a bedroom window that opens into it. Am I on the right track, or should I stay with single pane windows?"
If it's a 3-seasons porch, you know, single pane would be fine. The only reason you'd go with the double pane is if you're going to heat it, you know, that, you know, or it depends, like if it's on the south side, you know, and you want to keep it nice and cool and use it for then you'd probably go with a double. It's they're almost the same amount of money anymore. It's almost harder to get single panes. So just go ahead and catch a double panes and make sure, again, that, you really follow the directions. And one thing too, I've got a friend that does a lot of research on flashings and things like that. When you're putting your windows in now, new windows, they have a lot of flashing tapes that go around the windows and underneath. They call it a pan that goes in the bottom of the opening. Try to focus on buying a butyl type of flashing rather than an asphalt based. We've got some friends that have been using the asphalt base, and they like taking siding off every few years, and they notice that it's creeping. It's actually kind of moving and letting go when it gets warm. So you may want to just kind of focus on it's a higher dollar, but it's a butyl-based type flashing tapes.
All right, and he has a follow-up question, too. He said, should I stick with sliding windows, or would double-hung fiberglass be better?
Well, double-hung fiberglass would be better. The downside with sliding sometimes is if they are not a good brand, is that they're so tall in many cases, and they are very leaky because they have to be sliding left and right all the time. They're fairly leaky, and I've seen some where they blow out on a strong wind. They actually they'll just kind of lift up a little bit and come right out of the track. So the only downside with the double hung is, of course, that there's that horizontal line between the top and the bottom sash, and it's personal choice, but the double hungs, it'd be nice because then you can just lower the top when you get some ventilation.
All right. Well, Bill McAnally, thank you so
much. Yeah, thanks. Get this thing down there a little farther.
We will. Next time you come back, we will not be fundraising.
Okay.
All right. Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert. You've been listening to Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio.